Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
My lovely friend Dave, thank you so much, and welcome aboard. Man, I am looking forward to the show in one way. In another, it might be a little emotional. A lot of folks have been feeling emotion in the past many days. If you have been paying attention to what's happening in Florida with the untimely death of Trayvon Martin, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I just couldn't help, since it's my show and I can do what I want. I was feeling songs and thought, should I add this? Should I play this next to this? And I really wanted to drive a point home about how important it is to pay attention to what's around you and to try with all my might to be positive when seemingly there's so much negativity involved. I told my son this morning, I didn't think that he would ever have to witness this kind of challenge in his lifetime. I thought we were over this, but we're not. And it reminds me, the climate of now, it reminds me a little of the 60s, to tell you the truth. So I was thinking about songs to play, and there's going to be great music, that's for sure. And our special guest today at 3, a couple of hours from now, Greg Hatza, who is going to be with his organization at Burke's Jazz this coming Thursday. So a lot to look forward to, a lot of things to experience and feel, a lively chat room, and we're going to start off. Actually, we've got some birthday babies in the house today, and some of them are with us, some of them no longer. Sarah Vaughn to start things off. Sassy's birthday today. Let us remember the divine one. Have you met Miss Jones on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy? Welcome.
Have you met old Jones? Someone said as we shook hands, he was just old Jones to me. Then I said, old Jones, you're a guy who understands I'm someone who must be free. And all at once I lost my breath, and all at once was scared to death, and all at once I owned the earth and sky. Now I've met old Jones, and we'll keep on meeting till we die. Old Jones and I shall boop do it do it do it ba shoo be ba shoo be ba he was just old Jones to me. I'm someone who must be free. And all at once I lost my breath, and all at once was scared to death, and all at once I owned the earth and the sky. Now I'm the head of Jones, and we'll keep on meeting till we die. Oh,
thank you.
the drums echoing tonight. And she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, "Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you.
Oh my, how long has it been since we've had a love affair with that song? What, 1983, 82? Whew, Toto and Africa. And yes, there's a significant reason why I played that. Would, you know, not necessarily play it in a hybrid jazz mix, but, you know, I have been thinking about that song. That song has always given me great comfort, and I have needed to be comforted in these past many days. And besides that, Jeff Porcaro, who was so much a part of the backbone of Toto, passed away in 1992, but was born on April the 1st, 1954. And, man, a lot of people miss Jeff, especially the circumstances under which he passed away, because he had been spraying with insecticide that day, and many people thought that that was the cause of his death. But there are some who would say that that is not the cause, as is the case with so many of the folks who were involved with rock, and still is the case with recent autopsies we've heard. Jeff had had his share of cocaine, so I don't know if it was a mix of the insecticide and the cocaine, or just the use and the continued use of cocaine, but he died fairly young, too young, my gosh. And it's so fascinating, what a genius he was instrumentally. You talk about that song, and Jeff had said that it's basically, and this is a quote from him, a white boy trying to write a song about Africa, but since he has never been there, he can only tell what he has seen on TV or remembers in the past. And Jeff's past consisted of his parents taking him to the New York World Fair when he was 11. He saw the African Pavilion, and it really made a powerful impact on him. And he carried that along with David and the rest of the guys in the group to combine to make this song. And man, you talk about the test of time. That song has been played at all of Toto's tours from that moment when it became a song that people were aware of until 2008. That's pretty intense. We heard Chick Corea and Bela Fleck, Señorita, from the CD The Enchantment, 2007. Oh my, what a combination this is. And thanks to Jonathan Widren for letting me know some things on his All Music review about these two and their collaborations. Of course, they were fans of each other, and Bela Fleck said that Chick Corea was one of his most inspiring inspiration. So he had reached out to Chick, and then Chick in return had reached out to Bela, and the Enchantment resulted. And it was pretty cool because people loved it, of course. It was this banjo virtuoso, Bela, who, by the way, was a big part of my world in country music, because when I was working in Vero Beach, Florida at Wave Country, Newgrass Revival was hitting it big in Nashville, and I got to know some of the guys in the band, and Bela Fleck was a member of this very progressive bluegrass band. So he took all of that information and translated it into the jazz that we have come to know from Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, who, by the way, reunited at Burke's this past Sunday, and everybody was flipping out because it was just so great. Victor Wooten, are you kidding, with Bela Fleck? And Bela, by the way, was nominated for a Grammy for Spectacle on The Enchantment. And we just heard Señorita. We started off the set with Sassy, or Sailor, as Sarah Vaughan was known. Why was she called Sailor? Because she talked like one. The Divine One, the name of the CD, and Have You Met Miss Jones, the name of the track that you heard. Pianist, arranger, Jimmy Jones, Harry Sweets Edison on muted trumpet, and Don Lamond on drums. Man. Sarah Vaughan. We don't have her anymore. God bless her. She passed away in 1990. On the 3rd of April, as a matter of fact, the day that we're going to have Kenny Barron here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. But Sarah's birthday is today. We want to make sure we mentioned that. Just a little bit of a blurb here for you, and then I'll get on to the next song, because there's so much great music here. Sarah Vaughan, the early part of her career, you might know the middle and the later stages of her career, but she went to New York from New Jersey. She was just elected into the New Jersey Hall of Fame just several days ago, by the way. She wanted to accompany her friend to the Apollo because her friend wanted to play. And Sarah thought, you know what, I think that I want to try out for these great auditions and see if I can get a night or two at the Apollo. And, of course, she won big time, and people were bowled over. Pianist Earl Hines heard her. Earl had been employing Billy Eckstein as his vocalist. And he saw Sarah Vaughan, and he said to her, "How about if you be my vocalist in the band, and we'll still have Billy, but I want to get you union wages so you can come on board as a pianist or some other musician and get your wages." And that was done on April the 4th, 1943. April the 4th, very close to my heart. It's my son's birthday. So she and Billy developed this really nice friendship, and that lasted for a very, very long time. And the rest is history. NEA Jazz Masters Award in 1989. Sarah Vaughan, what a story she had in her life. There's a bunch of information you can find out about her. Google her and take some time one day to learn about one of the greats. This particular CD was known as one of the greats because her tone, her inflection, her power, her energy was all right there. Spira Gyra, coming to Burke's this week, this Saturday, as a matter of fact. Thought we'd dip back to 1992. Oh my gosh, 20 years old already. Three Wishes, title track for you. Greg Hatze comes your way at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, so hang with us. It's really going to be a cool vibe today. Thank you.
JT.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, my. Did we have a good time last night with Arlington Jones on Cool Jazz Conversations? Oh, my gosh. He is a trip. And you know what? Not to take anything away from Arlington, because in and of himself, he is a wonderful, blessed, and he knows anointed man. But if you had spent 8 years with Wayman Tisdale, you'd have an extra bounce in your step, too. And Arlington and Wayman were as thick as thieves. Arlington on that keyboard and Wayman playing that bass, man, that was pretty formidable to see them do their thing. Whew. From the CD, Move the Heart, from 2005, The Marriage of Love and Faithfulness. And last night, Arlington was telling Joy and I about his marriage and how much it means to him. His wife, Hope, is so beautiful in all ways. And Arlington is such a spirit. Not only is he doing so well as music director in his Dallas, Texas community and making sure that he raises awareness of jazz, but he really likes to teach. He likes to mentor. So he goes to these different functions, and he makes sure that Hope and his two children are with him, so that children, when they see the family unit, can know that there is a healthy relationship if they are blessed to find one, because many of the children that he sees don't have a blueprint for healthy relationships. So he wants to make sure he takes Hope and the kids, so that he can actually show the kids how he's interacting with his children and his wife, so that they know that there is another side to life, and it gives them hope. I just love Arlington Jones so much. And if we have a chance, I want to play his brand new single that we debuted last night on CJC, Because He Lives. He is bringing gospel jazz to the masses. He has the coolest arrangement of this standard you would ever want to hear, so hopefully we'll get to that. Whew. We heard Michael Brecker and Randy Brecker, actually the Brecker brothers from 1975 on Arista. Levitate is the song that we heard, and I'm playing the song today because it just seemed to go well. We need to have a certain level of consciousness these days, and Michael Brecker, his birthday is coming up. 3/29/49 is when he was born. Passed away on January 13th, 2007. And I think that we know about the circumstances of his passing, but his life and the music that he created with Brother Randy and without Brother Randy, here is Michael on sax and iwi, and here was Randy on trumpet, and together they were making some magic. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, you might not know this, but you maybe are familiar with Todd Rundgren's Hello, It's Me. Randy and Michael were on that song. Yes, indeed. Part of Frank Zappa's touring band in the late 70s. Oh, to have been a fly on the wall. And then Randy was invited to join Al Kooper's Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and he did, and left after Child is Father to the Man. That was my first LP, my first vinyl. Back in 1968, gee, Lord. But had to play something special for Michael, because it's just so crazy to see somebody define what they were doing. Certainly there were other people who were doing fusion at that time, but somebody called the Brecker brothers as having a moment of clarity when Stevie Wonder got together with Thelonious Monk. And the kick for me is that the brothers were from Cheltenham, which was in Montgomery County, just down the street from where I grew up in Jenkintown. So we were all in the same vicinity, but we never knew. Oh, I wish I had, but still a chance to meet Randy down the road, and I intend to. We started off with Spira Gyra, Three Wishes. Over 10 million CDs sold, or pieces of work, since the mid-70s. Can you believe that? And if you want to get a taste of Spirogyra and get a taste of A Foreign Affair, their CD that came out in 2011, they're going to be at Burke's Jazz Fest on Saturday. Go see them if you can. Man, if there's a possibility of going to see Spirogyra on Saturday and then Chick Corea on Sunday, I tremble at the thought. But this is some rarefied air as far as jazz is concerned. And what those two acts have done, Chick and Spirogyra, and matter of fact, you should know that Scott Ambush from Spirogyra has been in town recently. Now, he's a Maryland person anyway, but he's been filling in for Carl Filipiak's bass player. Carl Filipiak, based in Baltimore, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that if we get to the music. Trish, stop it. I know, I'm just rambling, but hey, I would rather be a little excited than despondent, which is what I've been in the past several days. So getting excited about the music, and Greg Hatza coming up at 3 o'clock, and about the chat room, too. God bless Matt and Griselda and Yolanda and Albert in the chat room. We're going to get to more music right now. And Christian Scott. Sometimes I get the word Christian, and then Christian is the daughter of Arlington Jones, so we were just talking about her last night. Christian Scott. Paradise Sound. This track. Christian on trumpet from Rewind That back a few years ago. See if this will do some healing for you. Yolanda's a little bit under the weather today, so if Arlington didn't do it, I think Christian will. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you.
honest and so tender.
Something for Chaka because it was her birthday on the 23rd. Chaka Khan turned 59. Thank you so much. Honey, I'm just a little ahead of you. Chaka and I together, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to make that happen someday. I don't know what's going on with Chaka Khan, but whatever it is, it's phenomenal. What you just heard was from her 2007 Funk This. Got to be really careful how I say that. Album, and One for All Time, the name of the track there. Chaka is just doing some incredible things. Let me tell you, if you go to chakakhan.com, you will find out that on 317, she played at this function. It was a benefit for Agape's Carl Anderson Scholarship Fund. That's for one. She has on her website, I Can Change the World t-shirts, real empowerment t-shirts for kids especially. The Chaka Khan Foundation, if you aren't aware of that, please learn about it. You can actually go to Chaka's site and get a Chaka Khan Foundation Visa card, and proceeds go into the foundation, which is all about helping kids. I don't know if you know about this or not, but Chaka is close to my heart because there's a couple of autistic kids in Chaka's family. And she, ever since that transpired, she made it a point to try to help moms and kids go through some challenging times with her help, and she's doing that. Now, on top of it, she has a Twitter site where she has this particular endeavor called Fear Kills, Love Heals, and there is a brand new song for those people who want to feel empowered and feel better and feel hopeful about some good coming from this Trayvon Martin murder in Florida. So I just saw the video, and man, it's mind-blowing because Eric Benet's in it and some folks that you will recognize as far as TV and film are concerned. They're all wearing hoodies and they're all making a statement, and it's because of Chaka's endeavor. So man, make sure you support this lady in what she's doing. She just got temporary custody of her granddaughter, and her life is completely full, and she's determined to make sure people are aware of what they can do and how each person can make a significant contribution to make sure this kind of travesty never happens again. So God bless you, Chaka Khan. Man. Cindy Bradley, just had a chance to spend a little time with Cindy at Burke's on Friday night, part of Jazz in Pink. Have mercy. She did that song, Massive Transit, from Unscripted on stage. And Gail Johnson and the rest of the crew backing her up. Lord, was it a sweet time. They must have spent 2 hours on the stage. I'm not kidding you. Now, Gail was on the stage the whole time. But Althea Renee and Paula Atherton and Cindy Bradley and more ladies took their turns. And I have to say, Robin Bramlett on bass, she lost a string. She just plowed right ahead. And Lynn Thidmont, my gosh, it was just an astounding display. And Cindy was just so sweet. And I got to meet her new fiancé, Dan Cipriano. I had no idea that Dan Cipriano was so well-versed in being a part of the New York City jazz scene and beyond. What a player he is on that saxophone. My gosh, what a sweet guy. And he was actually tooling around Cindy's trumpet in her case. Bless their hearts. I wish them all the best. Cindy and the crew, Jazz in Pink, are going to be at the Seabreeze Jazz Festival on the 21st of April. If you get a chance, if you are in Panama City, whew, man, that's going to be a good time. Cindy Bradley, bless your heart. She's going to be at Capitol Jazz Fest, too, by the way. Christian Scott to start. Man, trumpeter, composer, producer, mentor, jazz awareness advocator, Paradise Found from Rewind That in 2006. He named that particular track, I'm pretty sure, because he's the nephew of a sax man great, Donald Harrison, and Donald had a CD called Paradise Found, and Christian wanted to borrow something from Uncle Donald. He's borrowed quite a few things, and Uncle Donald has borrowed quite a few of Christian's talents on his endeavors as well. But Christian, you should know this. A lot of people were commenting in the chat room about that song. He is such an amazing guy, taught by his grandfather early on, along with Christian's twin brother, Keel, to go one better than what you have to. If you're bringing schoolwork home, all right, prep for the next time that you have a test. Prep for the next time you have a lesson to be learned. Grandfather was just instrumental in no-nonsense getting-it-done business. And what has it translated into? A couple of things. First of all, if you go to christianscott.tv, that is one of the coolest websites I have seen. He's getting it all done. Where you can follow him, where he's going to be. in such a way that everything is very user-friendly. And then, you know, he was born and raised in New Orleans. He's now living in Harlem. He has something that he calls a whisper technique with that trumpet. It's breath over vibration on the instrument. Nobody else has done it. He was educated by some of the best in the business, but he wanted to branch out on his own and be remembered for that technique. Man, for a young cat, so smart. And then I'm not sure if Isadora Mendez is his girlfriend, fiance, or wife, but if you go to Christian Scott's Facebook page, one of the best photographers ever captured these two. Man, are they in love. Isadora is so beautiful, and so is Christian. These pictures together are the coolest couple pictures I have ever seen. Oh, mind-blowing stuff. His music, his personal life, he's got it going on, and I'm so happy for him. Greg Hatza has it going on, too. My gosh, at the top of next hour, he'll be here, hopefully. We're never sure these days. Keep your fingers crossed. Hey, life is a crapshoot. Live as though today is your last. And along those lines, I just slapped my leg. Don't be alarmed. Frederic Yanné, who was here with us a few months ago, he was at Burke's over the weekend with Karen Briggs. That was Fred doing his harmonica, Karen on her violin. She was at Jazz and Pink as well. Mind-blowing stuff. This is from Frederic or Fred's CD, Front and Center. Thought it would be appropriate to play his take on Marvin Gaye's What's Going on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
back when Eisenhower was the president, golf courses is where most of his time was spent. So I never really listened to what the president said, because in general, I believed that the general was politically dead. But he always seemed to know when the muscles were about to be flexed. Because I remember him saying something, mumbling something about a military-industrial complex. Americans no longer fight to keep their shores safe, just to keep the jobs going in the arms-making workplace. And then they pretend to be gripped by some sort of political reflex. But all they're doing is paying dues to the military-industrial complex. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery. The military and the monetary use the media as intermediaries. They are determined to keep the citizens secondary. They make so many decisions that are arbitrary. We're marching behind the commander-in-chief, who was standing under a spotlight shaking like a leaf. But the ship of state had landed on an economic reef, so we knew he was going to bring us messages of grief. The military and the monetary were shielded by January and went storming into February. Brought us pot-bellied generals as luminaries. 2 weeks ago I hadn't heard the sumbitch, now all of a sudden he's legendary. They took the honor from the honorary, they took the dignity from the dignitary, they took the secrets from the secretary, but they left the bitch an obituary. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles away in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary, had us all scrambling for our dictionaries because we couldn't understand the fucking vocabulary. Yeah, there were some smart bombs, but there were some dumb ones as well. Scared the hell out of CNN in that Baghdad hotel. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. War in the desert sometimes sure is scary, but they beamed out the war to all their subsidiaries. Tried to make so damn insane a worthy adversary, keeping the citizens secondary, scaring old folks into coronaries. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary, kept us all wondering if all of this was really truly necessary. We've got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. If we only worked for peace, if everyone believed in peace the way they say they do, we'd have peace. The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. They've turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery. We got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. We should not allow ourselves to be misled by talk of entering a time of peace. Peace is not the absence of war. It is the absence of the rumors of war and the threats of war and the preparation for war. Peace is not the absence of war. It is a time when we will all bring ourselves closer to each other, closer to building a structure that is unique within ourselves, because we have finally come to peace within ourselves. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning parts of the planet into a cemetery. What you gonna do? Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Say, what you gonna do? We hounded the Ayatollah religiously, bombed Libya, and killed Gaddafi's son hideously. We turned our back on our allies, the Panamanians, and saw Ali North selling guns to the Iranians. Watched Gorbachev slaughtering Lithuanians. We better warn the armies, they may bomb the Pennsylvanians. The military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery.
They got folks out there working for war.
Two, three, four.
Make a whole lot of money, start a little trouble, it's war. Turn this planet into north and south, it's war. Start a few rumors over there, make money with a war.
Work for peace.
Say it to yourself.
I believe we got to work for peace.
Peace ain't gonna be free.
I don't gotta work for peace.
You believe in peace,
I don't gotta work for peace.
Mercy, how we miss Gil Scott-Heron. The soundtrack of my Temple University days right there. Not that particular song because I was going to school back in the 70s, okay? That was from 1994. Spirits, Work for Peace. And even though there was a very pointed message in that song, I've been going over that song because despite how Gil Scott-Heron viewed the world sometimes, he still had that hope in his heart that things could get better. Each one reach one, everybody do something. Man, he went through some times. And it just about kills me when I think that his birthday is coming up on the 1st of April, and it's going to be a year on May 27th that we lost him. And when you think about that kind of song and the scheme of things, he was talking about the Gulf War and a visionary now, because who knew at that time how much bullshiggity would arise from what happened in the Gulf War. And that's where Gil Scott got the finger pointed at him, because he would speak the truth. Now, he was not right all the time, but he would speak the truth. And they went crazy. And you know who they are. I remember that Ronald Reagan made it a point to single him out. And just as he would try to single out Angela Davis and try to ruin her, couldn't make that happen. And Gil, if he had lived longer, I know that he would have written book after book. As it is, there is a memoir called Last Holiday that just came out in January, if you want to pick up a lot about what has transpired in Gil Scott-Heron's life, do so. Just so you know, his mom was an opera singer. Yeah. And his dad was a Jamaican soccer player, Gil Heron, who was called the, what was he called? He had a particular name. I can't even read my writing now because I was reading and writing and researching so quickly and was so excited. But he was called the Black something or other. And he was the first black player to be involved with the Glasgow Celtic Football Club. I didn't know this about Gil. He had a very fascinating background and certainly a career. On that rhythm section, by the way, Ali Shaheed Muhammad from a tribe called Quest, helping out his buddy Gil. Man, we miss him. Shoo! Ken Navarro, first time I've heard, I made it a point to wait from the test of time, his take on John Lennon's Imagine. And I told Ken that I was going to do this today, wait, and just so beautiful. Ken was with us last week, and the test of time is doing so well. Support Ken and his living room sessions. He's still doing them. A lot of people should do them. It's a way to make money, a way to get intimate with your audience. He's been fine-tuning them for a while now. Frederick Yanné, and shoo, front and center the name of the CD and what's going on, the Marvin Gaye song, 2005 for the CD. Just so you know, he's going to be at the Howard Theater opening on the 12th of April in D.C. He's going to be Blues Alley, 1st and 2nd of June. If you go to Frederick Yanné, Frederick, if you prefer, .com, you'll find out more, including getting your chops involved and looking at Fred TV. He's another one of those very, very sophisticated, very in the know, making it a point to make sure you know all about what's happening with him. He is also going to be at the Martha's Vineyard Jazz Fest in August. That's going to be a time and a half. If you want to do something special, save up your pennies, do that. Greg Hetze coming your way at the top of next hour, and we're going to get to some more tunes that seem to be appropriate these days. I make no apology for my head being where it is as far as Trayvon Martin's death is concerned. I got to do what I got to do to heal, to comfort myself and make sure that folks are comforted as well. So I thought this tune would be a pretty cool tune to play. Carl Filippiak, one of the folks that we revere around these parts, Baltimore-based on guitar. There's really no one his equal, actually. He's just, because he's delved into so many different kinds of endeavors, he is doing jazz, but he is also involved in making sure that the essence of Jimi Hendrix lives. So he's involved in a lot of rock, and when he plays places in town, it's crazy. It's packed. The joint is packed. This is from Looking Forward, Looking Back. I'm Only Dreaming on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Every time some of us hear that song, we just stop in our tracks. Marvin Gaye, who wrote the song with James Nix, and just really stirred the pot when that song came out. Actually, it was first covered by Grover Washington Jr. in 1972. But Marvin is the one. We all love Grover so much. But when you have that kind of vocal and that kind of truth, shoo, Inner City Blues, make me want to holler. Just it is indelible on the music scene. And I wanted to play it next to a couple of other songs because it just seemed to make sense. And Marvin's birthday, God bless him, God rest his soul, coming up on the 2nd of April, born in 1939, and passed away the day before his birthday, April the 1st, 1984. Died by a gun that his father had been given at Christmas by Marvin. Yeah, how about that? Life's ironies. And I was just telling Matt in the chat room that I could talk about Marvin for hours, not just because he was part of the scenario of my upbringing. There was a certain go-to artist I would go to when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Marvin Gaye, sitting in front of that or laying in front of that upright stereo listening to his greatest hits and seeing the metamorphosis that he went through. I still have in my room, and I have to find the poster, but it's a big picture, and it's all in tatters. But from so many years ago, that beautiful picture of Marvin shirtless, wearing his multicolored hat, looking out the window and smiling, wearing his little boots. Just love Marvin Gaye. And this is another thing that drew me to him. You know, his original name was G-A-Y, and he wanted to make sure that he sent a message to his father because things were never good at home, never. And he added the E at the end of his name, and that's funny to me as I was coming up because my grandmother, Winnie Hennessy, didn't like the folks that she married into. So she put the E-Y at the end of Hennessy. We are supposed to be related to the Hennessy Cognac people. Whatever reason Winnie had, she wanted to put that E before the Y at the end of Hennessy. So I always felt like there was a kinship between Marvin and me. I just wanted to, you know, feel a little relatable to him. We heard, too, from Earl Carter from Washington, D.C., but he spends a lot of time in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia playing at the Sheraton there. So cool. Earl is one of these go-to guitarists in this region and beyond. Played with a lot of heavyweights, but makes a very comfortable living playing with folks in session now in Ethiopia at the special request of Sheikh Mohammed Hussein al-Amoudi, who heard Earl one day and personally invited him to be part of the Exposure Band that plays frequently in Ethiopia. Just so you know that, amazing. Horse with No Name, the America song from Earl's CD, My Paradise, which is just great. Earl, EARL-Carter.com is where you want to find him. He's going to be back in D.C. on the 21st playing it with the Uptown Blues Band at a place called Optimism in D.C. Just so you know. Oh, my goodness. And what else? Carl Filipiak, I'm Only Dreaming, from Looking Forward, Looking Back, from 2002. And as I said earlier, Carl plays out, when he plays out, people know. He usually has bassist Mike Pope with him, but Mike's on the road with Chris Bode. So Scott Ambush from Spira Gyra filled in just recently at Cat's Eye. And we'll see how this goes because Carl is going to be playing with Lafayette Gilchrist and the New Volcanoes on the 14th of April at Chef Max in Baltimore. And then he's going to be with Lafayette and Company at the New Orleans Jazz Fest, May the 11th. Yeah. And just so you know, on that track, I'm Only Dreaming, it was Dennis Chambers on drums. And Dennis is going to be part of Burke's Jazz Fest this week, one of the most renowned drummers in the world, and in case you didn't know, based in Baltimore once again, and plays for Carlos Santana. He was the one who introduced Cindy Blackman to Carlos, by the way. Greg Hatza is coming our way in mere moments. Let's get to two more tunes, one of them involving Greg on his amazing organ. You talk about a guy who knows his instrument. My God. On the Hammond, Greg Hatza is it. Let's play a little Philly soul first, though. I wanted to play this because these are the Chestnut Brothers. We reacquainted ourselves with the Chestnut Brothers just in the past couple of weeks. This is from their retro soul CD, Choose Your Destiny, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
This song goes out to all the children of the world, from us to you.
I see you smiling like the noonday sun, yeah, shining through, reminding another battle you
us momentarily on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This seems to be the appropriate song to play after that song by the Chestnut Brothers. This is the Greg Hatza Organization. Stand up and be counted. much mercy, as we used to say in Philly, and we brought it to Baltimore. Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you something about the man that you just heard playing that organ, Greg Hudson. When I first came to town, my gosh, the first time around, it was back in 1979. Now, I was involved in country music, but I heard about Greg then in the little that I had in the jazz circles. That's the name that popped up. Lot of respect. Came back to Baltimore again after leaving, heard about Greg again. And then when I came this third time around and got Full Tilt Boogie involved in the jazz scene, oh my God, to see this man play his instrument after having played it for so long in his hometown of Reading, PA, then coming into Baltimore, having had this amazing education, having played with some of the baddest cats around, and now he is one of the baddest cats around. He's the go-to guy in this region and beyond. And to show you how hot this guy is, he's going to be playing at Burke's Jazz Fest this week. Prime time, baby, at Gerald Beasley's Jazz Bass right there at the Crown Plaza. It's my pleasure to welcome the amazing Greg Hatza. Greg, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm great, and I know that you're going to be one of these humble guys. I know that you are. But let me tell you how fabulous you are. Can I just say?
If you like. How do you feel?
I'm great, and you are cooking. How do you feel? I mean, are you excited about Thursday?
I'm very excited. I play in Reading periodically at the Jazz Bass, but not always at the festival. But this time I'm actually playing in the festival, so it's exciting. You know, I get to see a lot of my friends again who I went to high school with, and my relatives, they come to see me play. So I really enjoy playing back in Reading.
Oh, man, and I'll bet you that Gerald, I'm going to get Gerald on the horn one of these days and find out, because Gerald is one of these guys. He's there every day. He was there last weekend. He'll be there this week. He probably loves you because he likes to hear what was really hot a little bit before his day. You know, you've had these ups and downs with playing the organ. Tell us about that, because from what I understand, at the age of 4, you were picking out blues and boogie-woogie numbers on the piano, were you not?
That's true. My mother, we had an old upright piano in my house, and nobody actually really taught me anything, but for some reason, my mother saw me picking up these tunes, because they used to play some jazz records, you know, periodically in the house, and I kind of got that bug in my ear for that type of music. And then she saw me just picking stuff out, and she said, well, maybe it's time for me to give him piano lessons. So she found somebody for me to start taking, you know, basic piano at 5 years old, you know, whatever that was. I can't remember. All I remember was an old German lady up in Pennsylvania, and I remember a couple of times she hit me on my wrist with a ruler if I was making mistakes.
Oh, wow. Whoa, oops. Yeah.
But then basically I kind of taught myself jazz, because, you know, at that time there was really not any jazz teachers.
Right.
So basically you had to fend for yourself. So I would buy as many Oscar Peterson, Ray Charles records as I could find. They were my favorites at the time. And then Jimmy Smith and Jimmy McGriff, and I would buy them, and I would listen and listen. I would look at the pictures even on the album covers just to see how they were holding their hands, you know, and things like that. And I just kind of picked the stuff up by ear. And then I would also try and hang out in a jazz club that was in Reading, at a place called 7th and Franklin. It was called the Grand Hotel, and they were bringing
organ.
They were bringing organ players from Philly, Delaware, New Jersey, you know, Charles Erlin, Groove Holmes, I mean, Jim McGriff, they've all come in there. And, of course, I was only about 16 years old at the time, but they would have a jam session on Saturdays, and I would always walk down there. I mean, it was kind of a seedy part of town. You know, I never told my mother where I was going, but I would go down there. I would go down there, and they'd have the back door open because summertime, so I would be listening to the bands cooking in there, and, you know, they'd come out, and I'd talk to them, this and that, and, you know, and I told them what I've been doing, playing jazz, you know, learning organ and stuff, and, you know, somehow they set up a chair for me most of the time so I could come in and sit beside the bandstand close to the door, but I could watch them play, you know. And then,
cool.
Lo and behold, one day they let me sit in, and every time I went down there, every group that came in there, they wanted me to at least play a number or two.
Wow,
that's
amazing.
Yeah.
And you were playing, you were piano at 5, and you had the lessons with the lady with the ruler. And, and then you were playing organ at 15, and you turned pro at 16.
I did. There was a older saxophone player in town. Well, he was older than at that time, but his name was Frankie Scott. And he had the Frankie Scott Trio that would travel a lot of the small towns in Pennsylvania. And he needed an organ player, and he heard about me and found out what I was doing. And so he kind of put me in his group, and so I would travel with him. You know, he made sure he took care of me, you know, because I was underage, so he never told anybody how old I was. He told me to grow a mustache if I could. But we played these various clubs, and then I kind of got my start professionally with him as far as jazz. I mean, I was in R&B bands before that, but professionally in jazz, I kind of got started with him, you know, traveling around and just making as many gigs as I could with him. And then one day Lenny Moore saw me playing at that club at the Rain Hotel, and that was kind of how I came to Baltimore. He pulled me to the side as they saw me playing, because he's from Reading. He was visiting family up there. And they were having a big affair for him because he was like the first football player to have 20 touchdowns a season or something like that. It was a big deal. And they were going to honor him in Reading. He asked me to play at his affair. And then I did. And then afterwards he told me, look, I'm opening a club in Baltimore, Lenny Moore Sportsman's Lounge, Club 24. And I would like to see if your parents let me come down there to perform on weekends. And so he talked to my parents and this and that. And so, you know, they agreed, and he kind of became my manager and that. And I would finish school like at Friday at 3 o'clock, catch a train to Philly, then Philly to Baltimore. He'd pick me up, take me to the club. He'd have a suit for me. He got me some suits put on, and the organ was already there. The musicians were already there, sat down, started playing. I would play the whole weekend. I'd stay with him, his family, all through the weekend, go to football games if they were in town. And then, then on Sunday night, he would drive me to the Greyhound station after the last set, 2 o'clock in the morning. He'd take me to Greyhound station, and I'd go to Harrisburg. My father, who had a restaurant in Reading, and opened up very early in the morning, he would pick me up, and my grandfather would pick me up, take me back to Reading. I'd get to Reading probably around 5 in the morning. Then I wake up the next morning, and I had to go to school. I was going to Kutztown State Teachers College at the time, and I drive to Kutztown to go to school. And I did that for about a year or so, and it was kind of wearing me out. So I talked my parents into letting me see if I could take an audition for Peabody. You know, so I had a teacher at the time who was helping me in Reading, was helping me get an audition together for that. And and I finally took an audition, and I got accepted. So then I permanently moved down to Baltimore, and I lived with Lenny for about the next 4 years while I went to school.
That is amazing. God.
Yeah. And I played in his club, and he took me other places to play. I played in D.C., you know, different places. He got me my first record deal with Coral Records. I put out two finals at the time. One was called The Wizardry of Greg Hatcher. I had Grady Tate on drums, Eric Yale on guitar.
Yeah.
I did the second one with the same personnel. And then, you know, did some personnel, personal appearances that we did. He did a show in Philadelphia. I can't remember the name of the show, though, fan right now. It was kind of like an Oprah show at that time. I forget what it was. I forget the guy who had the show in Philly. But we did a show like that, and then I just kept on playing organ, you know, as much as I could.
That is amazing. And lest folks don't know who Lenny Moore is, but before there was the Indianapolis Colts, thank you very much, there were the Baltimore Colts. And Lenny Moore was a Baltimore Colt, had a fabulous reputation. And, man, now I know why he was so loved, because that was something for him to take you under his wing like that. That speaks a lot about him. But it speaks a lot about your dad and grandfather, because they really did support you in this, didn't they?
Yes, it did. You know, they would come pick me up 3 o'clock in the morning every Sunday, Sunday morning. I mean, a Monday morning.
They really believed in your talent, and man, it's really paid off, because those two albums for Coral Records, Coral was an MCA subsidiary, was it not, Greg?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
So that's pretty big stuff.
Yeah, I remember the audition. They came down to see me play at Lenny's Club, and they said, come on up, take an audition. I went up there with Lenny, sat down at organ by myself, and played. They said, just play. So I just played some stuff. Nobody was with me. And so, like, three weeks later, they sent him a contract.
Oh, gosh. That's pretty nuts. And are you happy with the way things are, because you seem to have a pretty full life, and I don't think that you're ever without gigs. Are you happy the way things are going? Could you foresee a different scenario that you'd like to make it better as far as your music is concerned?
Well, I'm trying to see if I can get another recording out with some reputable company or minor company. I'm working on trying to get a record deal if it's possible. That's really my focus right now. And I know the business right now is pretty bad, and, you know, jazz companies are folding right and left. So, I mean, a lot of musicians now are just putting out things out themselves and trying to, especially jazz musicians, because the opportunities just aren't there anymore like they used to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're relying on Facebook and social media trying to really promote themselves, you know. But that's probably my focus right now, is just basically see if I can get another recording deal.
Well, cool. I you know what, and I'm really getting a buzz. I don't know how you feel about this, and I know there was a time in your career I wanted to play another song by you, because I'm really feeling what you did with this particular song from Snake Eyes. But you are feeling, I think, the same kind of thing I'm feeling. I'm hearing people gravitating to the Hammond these days. I'm feeling that there is another resurgence of that instrument, because people want to hear old school stuff now. Are you feeling that?
Yeah, I am feeling that. I see the resurgence. I see more groups are using the Hammond organ as a resurgence. I see that. I do see that.
Yeah.
One thing is economical too, because the Hammond organ player is also the bass player. You know, so economy wise, not to put eliminate a bass player, but he does. So in other words, if you have a guitar player and he has an organ player, he also has the bass player. So all he needs is a drummer. You know, so that's what's going on a lot of times with that. You know,
I love it.
Excellent. Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm not sure how much time you have to spend with me, but hang out with me some. I really want folks to hear your take on a phenomenal song that, interestingly enough, was from the movie Phenomenon. And it was sung by Eric Clapton, but it was written by a couple of guys based in Nashville. And you have a really sweet take on this song, Change the World. You know I love this song.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you did to it because you really felt this song, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did you like it when it first came out? Did you know about the guys in Nashville who wrote it, or did you just, because
no.
of Eric Clapton and that movie, it was just powerful to you?
Yeah, the song in the movie was powerful to me.
Yeah.
It had a lot of feeling, a lot of soul to it.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
yeah.
And you know what? You tell me, because I assume that I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. You say it to me, Hatza, right?
Hatza, yes.
Right, okay, because sometimes I always go by the rule of thumb, the Sade rule. Just because it looks like it's Sade doesn't mean it's pronounced that way.
Right.
So this is the Greg Hatza Organization, Change the World, from Snake Eyes on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Oh my gosh. That is so choice, and a special thank you to Tommy Sims, Gordon Kennedy, and Wayne Kirkpatrick for writing the song, but special thanks to the Greg Hatsa organization for spelling it out for us in such a funky way. Man, Greg, that is so hot. Where were you when you were playing that song? Where do you zone off to when you play music?
It's hard to say. I like watching people when I play.
Really?
You know, so,
okay.
Yeah. So a lot of times when I'm playing, I mean, especially on groove tunes like this here, like I like to see people move, you know, it kind of, if I feel people grooving to what I'm doing, you know, it just kind of pushes me up another notch, you know?
Yeah.
It just feels good to see people feeling good. That's you know, I know I'm making people feel good, and then it kind of makes me feel good to make them feel better.
Man, you're not kidding. Now, I had a chance to see that up close and personal. I've seen you a few times, but it's been a little far away. But up close and personal, when you were playing with Benny Russell, when I booked Benny into the restaurant that's not there anymore in Pikesville, man,
yeah.
you tore that place up that night. You and Benny were so good together. It was crazy.
Yeah, I remember that night. That was a good night. That was a good hit.
Yeah, it was. And Robert Shahid
yeah.
was playing too.
Right. Yeah, Robert
yeah.
Shahid. Yeah. Great drummer. Yeah.
And you had, on that track and on Snake Eyes, you had Dennis Chambers with you, right?
Yeah, Dennis did the whole CD with me, yeah.
Yeah, and who else was on that that album? Because you had some really good people. You had a great chemistry.
Was Paul Ballenbeck on guitar?
Yeah,
Paul Ballenbeck. He was on all three Palmetto records I did, and it was Ralph LaLama on sax, a New York saxophone player, very good. So.
Man, woo, so unbelievable. Here's what I want to ask you.
Yeah.
When things were going a little nuts as far as not knowing the path of where what you were doing on organ were going in the 70s, you switched
yeah.
to playing keyboard, electric keys, and
yeah.
You resumed playing again when you heard Joey DeFrancesco, right? 1994 or so?
Yeah. I mean, I was still playing, but I wasn't really performing out too much, you know.
Right.
I mean, I didn't forget the instrument, but at that time in the 70s, you know, like this contemporary fusion and whatever, that was a real big thing. So, you know, the organ kind of went to the wayside for a minute, you know, for a lot of people, except for the big stars like McGriff and Jimmy Smith, and you know, people were still hanging on. You know, they were still being recorded, but they weren't really recording any new organ players anymore, you know. Kind of died out because of this. Everything was going totally electric, you know. The organ was electric, but it wasn't the kind of sound that they really wanted at the time. They wanted those Fender Rhodes and synthesizers and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, because there's a lot of fusion happening, and you actually got together this very, very reputable band called Moon August. You just made lemons out of lemonades, or lemonade out of lemons.
Do my best.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Yeah. And then, anyway, so I heard it. I was listening to some recordings, and this new young organ player was putting stuff out. So he came to the New Haven Lounge at the time in Baltimore.
Oh, man.
It was like a secret thing. They snuck him in there to do a trio thing with Paul Ballenbeck on guitar. Anyways, I went down there to see him, and he said he wanted to meet me, so I went down to see him, and he actually played some songs off my vinyl things I did when I was 19 years old. You know,
wow.
I guess as it's some way of saying I've listened to you also, you know. So, anyways, we talked to this and that, and. You know, he said that he was making his main purpose to try and revive his organ. You know, and he told me, he said, you know, suggested, you know, I should, you know, come back on it, you know. start recording. So I did.
That's kind of how that happened. And in the meantime, you know, I thought it was fascinating because, first of all, you got gigs with country acts and R&B acts, so you could pay bills and still be working. And
yeah.
Then you also, I love this about you, Greg. This is where I went, oh, my God, this guy is from another galaxy. In 1974, you decided that you were going to expand your musical horizons and study tabla and sitar?
Yes, I always was fascinated with Indian classical music, so I found a great teacher in town, Ustad Hamid Hussein, and I met him at a performance, and I said, you know what, I'm going to study this stuff. And so I studied tabla under him for 12 years, and sitar, and actually I won the first all-Indian music competition on tabla.
I heard that. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did that, and I went to India with him, you know, and I dedicated like a Moon August album with infused Indian music on it. It was called Feeling Free, the album was called. Actually, I just put it on CD because it was on vinyl. I will have it for sale up in Reading when I go up there. And, and then, so I've been in touch with, I stay in touch with the Indian community. I've also did a CD, hasn't been released yet, on tabla. I'm playing keyboards and a sitar player from India, and we just did a really great album. You can actually hear it on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah, if you go on Greg Hatzer, you'll see a picture of me with two other Indian musicians with like a profile of us, and you can check out some of the cuts on that. And we're trying to get that released. And we did a couple of concerts with that configuration. So I understand the raga, and you know, I've been playing that kind of music for long time, and Indian music. When I went to India, I was playing ragas on piano at the American Embassy with Indian tabla players. So that was one of the music that really fascinated me a lot because it was very improvisational, similar to jazz, but it did have its own characteristics, you know.
God
characteristics.
Bless
and
you.
I also studied Chinese music.
I know. This is called the erhu, right?
Arhu, yeah.
Arhu, this is a two-stringed fiddle?
Two-stringed fiddle. And I also studied a little bit of the Chinese zither, in Chinese called guzhang. And I studied that a little bit, too.
So, you know, this is a guy from Reading, PA. Where did you get the wherewithal to think so globally? Because, you know, when somebody delves into that, they really are exploring methodologies for peace. And you probably know that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. My God.
Yeah. I was really into that movement, actually, when I was in the 60s and 70s. Peace movement, you know, and
honey, I'm right there with you because we're about the same age.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we are a couple of I guess we could say in a certain way. I can say that I'm an aging hippie. I don't know if you ascribe to that or not, but we certainly saw a lot back in the 60s and 70s. That's for sure.
Yes, we certainly did. It was actually we saw a lot. Being born
yeah,
at that time.
We did, and some of it we can talk about.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wow. I try to explain to my soon to be 20-year-old son, and I really don't want to explain too much because he's such a good kid. But there were a lot of pitfalls back then, and we learned we didn't know not to learn the way that we did. There was so much experimentation and temptation out there, and my God, Greg, we survived it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
You
know, another thing. The other side of me is, I studied Asian martial arts since I was like 20 years old.
Really?
And I continue that. Yeah, now I have my own school of Chinese martial arts. So I've been doing that since I was 20 up till
you
now.
You have your own school?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. That's incredible. Where is your school?
In Kingsville. It's called I rent spaces at different places. I move around. It's called the Chinese Boxing Academy. I do Tai Chi and some other stuff, you know. I've been doing it for a long time. The other side of me is I'm very into physical health and staying in shape. That's a very big thing for me.
Bless your heart. Well, you know, I might have to contact you soon. I love Tai Chi, and I want a way for me to get into a lot better shape, because I'll be 60 in October, and I'm telling you, Greg, I want to pop out of my own cake wearing a harem outfit, all right?
Okay.
So this all has to work, and maybe we were supposed to talk, because I didn't know about your school, and what you're describing are a few of the best ways to stay in peak performance, don't you think? Perfect health?
Exactly. Without your health, you can't do nothing. So, I mean, I knew from the beginning. I saw a lot of musicians fall into too many pitfalls, not take care of themselves, and they're, you know, some are dead now, some are in bad shape, whatever.
Right.
I knew I wasn't going to fall into that. I made sure.
Bless your heart. I didn't know. This is another side of you. Well, no wonder your songs have so much vigor. I mean, there's an extra level of energy in your music. And I have just immersed myself in Snake Eyes. It's just been really, really cool. Where is the best place to learn more about you? Is it through your website?
Through my website, you can get kind of a little historical thing about myself, you know. I mean, I have Facebook now, Greg Hatza, and the Greg Hatza Music Fan Club, and my martial arts school, the Chinese Boxing Academy. They're all on Facebook. So.
That's great. I am serious. I'm going to look that up. I am so tickled by that. Oh, my gosh. And on top of this, I mean, you've had a superior education. You got your master's at Towson State, didn't you?
Yes, I got my bachelor's at Peabody, then didn't go to school for about 10 years and decided, you know, I think I need to get a master's degree, because I thought, supplement my income, I should maybe teach at a university or something. Because a lot of jazz musicians did that, you know.
Of course,
I went to Towson and got my master's degree. And while I was there, I helped co-write the jazz degree program that's there right now. And so And I did that, and I taught there for about 15 years, and then I gave it up.
you seem to have a lot more going on. I mean, you've got your school now, so I know that keeps you busy. Whoa! And I won't keep you too much longer. I know that you really want to do what you can to raise awareness, especially for jazz, but also about what your instrument is. Folks who are coming to Burke's this week, what time is the show? Do you know how much it is to get in? Do you know if it's sold out or if there is such a thing as a sellout? Do you know?
That I don't know if there's a sellout, but there's a lot of things going on at the same time. That's the problem.
Oh, yes.
You know, like there's the smooth jazz jam session goes on like 1 hour into my show, so that might take away from I don't know what's going on. So, I'm in the jazz bass room. I think it's $10 to get in, and it's about 7 to 10.
Okay, cool. Now, who are you going to have playing with you?
I'm going to have Vance James on drums, Peter Frays on various saxophones, and Brian Cogan on guitar. They were on my last CD I produced, which was called To a New Place.
Oh, great.
Which I sell usually at my performances.
Wonderful. Oh, my gosh. That's That's so awesome that you are really excited about looking for a new opportunity to do a CD, and that you are, you know, you've been used to playing in Reading because you're a hometown guy, but this is a big deal for you to be prime time, you know, as Berks is winding down. This is a heavy duty week for a lot of acts coming into the area. So, you know what? By the end of this week, you might have your record deal.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I think that once people see you, and there's a bunch of folks. Drew Davidson's going to be with me on Thursday, and he had some really good things happen to him when he was at Berks this past weekend, and I expect the same for you, because anytime you see a hometown hero like you playing your heart out, oh, God, folks who are coming from out of town who can do something, they really want to do something.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, good. And I might see you there. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Do you know when else you're going to be playing? Are you going to be playing anytime soon in Baltimore, or are you going to be playing out of town?
I've got some dates. I got an Inner Harbor date coming up.
Cool.
Yes, but a lot of stuff is starting like in June.
Right.
You know, Inner Harbor is July 13th. You know, and I am doing some things. A lot of times I play at Caton Castle also.
That's right. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Caton Castle is great for seeing folks who are stone cold into jazz. And that's the forum I want to see you in next time. If I don't get a chance to go to Berks, because I was there this past weekend, and you know it's a little bit of a trek from Baltimore to Reading.
Yeah, I know.
But there's going to be so many people, I mean, especially in light of the fact that a couple of days away from you, Spira Gyra is going to play, and then Chick Corea is going to play to wind things down. So,
oh, okay, good.
Yeah. You are going to get some primo people coming to check you out, so be ready, Greg.
Okay. All right.
And thanks so much for spending time. This was great. You spent a little bit more time than I thought you could, and I know you're a busy guy. I wish you the absolute best.
Thank you, Chris. Keep in touch with me.
I will. And you post your events usually on Facebook, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then if I know that, then I'll post them on my page so folks can get a real taste of what you're like in person, because you're awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good luck on Thursday.
All right. I'll see you then. All right. Bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
My goodness gracious, alive, Greg Hatza, the Greg Hatza Organization, O-R-G-A-N, little letters, I-Z-A-T-I-O-N. We're going to play another track, and I wanted to make sure I sort of closed out the show. We're going to actually play two tracks, and I promised Arlington Jones that I was going to do a second song by him, and I'm going to do it. And it just seemed to be a very cool segue from Greg Hatza and his organization, One World, the name of the song, into something brand new from Arlington Jones. So check this out. You'll love this. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. going out to Arlington Jones, who might be listening right now. He was on CJC last night, and wow, we had to debut that song. It just got released yesterday, Because He Lives. And that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as something new that he's got cooking in the way of a new CD. So hopefully when that CD comes out, he'll be here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. So great, wasn't it? Oh, my God. And then, I mean, I just love the idea of closing the show like that, because we just heard from Greg Hatza and One World from his Snake Eyes CD. Had a couple of tunes on that CD that were vibing the whole atmosphere of America right now, and trying to be hopeful in the midst of some things going on that are just making us really sad. So bear with me for a while, because I'm going through the sad like a whole lot of other people. But in the meantime, we know that we need the balance of positivity as much as possible. And we know that we need to stay strong and hopefully unified. So if that's good with you, that's good with me. Oh, my. Oh, here we are. It's been a wonderful day. It's really done a lot. Greg Hatza spending time with us has meant a lot. I'm glad. Took some things off our minds just to get involved with his career and great things happening with him. I love the story he told about Lenny Moore taking him into his family and making sure he got to Baltimore. Just great stories like that. By the way, Thursday, let's all welcome Drew Davidson, shall we? Yeah! Haven't talked to Drew yet on the show. A lot of good things happening with him. He's just going to be so joyful when he's here on Thursday, and I hope you have a chance to join us. I believe he'll be here between 3 and 4, and we'll have great music, of course, as is the usual case. Thanks to Linda, Griselda, Albert, Matt, Beach, Yolanda was with us for a while, and everybody else listening. Over 3,400 people have listened to the show since it started, so thank you very much. God bless, and we'll see you Thursday on Hybrid Jazz.